Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Right now it's time for one of my favorite segments on the radio, and that's, of course, my dear friend, Dr. Ken Turner, known as Dr. History, brought to you by Minnacashia Sales at 1321 East Main Street in Burley, right across from the airport. Number to call, 878-2091. We'll have more about Minnacashia Sales, but right now, good morning to Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
Why are we getting you on that one? I think we got a different mic. Let's try that one.
Okay. How's that?
Yeah. I think they switched microphones in the holder on me.
All right.
Okay, well, we've got that one taken care of. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's a nice day out there. Sunny, bright, shiny.
Yeah, and
crops
sweaty.
Are looking good.
Sweaty.
Sweaty, it is.
Sweaty,
it's hot.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be for a while.
Now, what are you going to talk about today? I mean, certainly you've got old stories of the Old West.
This guy, you're going to know right off the bat, and most people are going to know about him because there's been a movie about him with John Wayne.
Uh-huh.
And there's a song that mentions his trail.
Okay.
Am I giving you some hints?
Davy Crockett?
John Chisholm.
Oh, John Chisholm.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Chisholm. You know, men called him the Jingle Bob King of the Pecos.
Okay.
And that he was. He was from the tip of his scruffy boots, worn and faded trousers stuffed inside his boots, and had a thin-looking face. I got a picture I'll show you here in a minute. Kind of a prominent nose, dark brown hair, bushy mustache. He was every inch acknowledged master of a cattle domain that was actually larger than a lot of the eastern states.
Now, I got to ask you a question. Was it in New Mexico or Texas? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it's actually, as I go along here, I think it's actually part of both.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, John Chisholm was not a gunman. He didn't carry a gun. He rarely packed a six-shooter since cattle was his business. And
yeah.
So he didn't want to, he wasn't in the business of killing people.
Yeah.
So anyway, he qualifies for this story today because of his personal speed or accuracy, or not because of that, with a weapon. He just didn't do that.
Okay.
So things like that just didn't matter to him. But because he associated with men who did live by the gun and whose lives were, for better or worse, tied together with his. For example, Billy the Kid, Pat Garrett, and enough other outlaws and lawmen that these guys were frequent visitors to his ranch in near Roswell, New Mexico.
Really?
So he had a lot of visitors on both sides of the law.
Well, was he a big guy? Was he a little guy? What kind of a guy was he?
You know, I'm not sure if it actually tells me how big he was. I'm going to show you a picture.
Let me take a look.
Nobody can see, but he looks like a cowboy, doesn't he?
Yeah, with a hat on, he would be. John Chisholm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you're right, John Wayne did portray that individual.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but actually, Madison County, Tennessee was where he was born, the second of five children. He was born August 15th, 1824. So that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he was 13. The family moved to Lamar County in East Texas near the Oklahoma line. Now, over the years, he tried driving cattle into Arkansas, Louisiana, but the insects and the mud and the swamps and the river stopped him, and he really didn't do very good at that. It was kind of a losing proposition.
It kind of makes you wonder, he was born and raised in what state? You just said Illinois, right?
Yeah. Well, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
And to go all the way to Texas way back in those early years with the Indian raids, the Comanches and everything, why would a family want to move there? It makes you wonder.
You know, I have wondered that as people moved west and right on the edge of civilization.
Yeah.
The dangers with...
Really.
But they did. They just kept moving west. But anyway, he ran twice for county clerk, got elected the second time, but gave it up when he met an eastern financier named Stephen Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy was a financial guy, and he looked Chisholm over and said he would invest in cattle if he could find someone who knew anything about the animals. Well, Chisholm, of course, knew a lot. So, in the spring of 1854, he and Fowler launched a 10-year partnership. Now, the partners grazed livestock near Fort Worth, Texas, And for the first, of course, it wasn't there then, but, and for the first 5 years, everything went good. Then came the Civil War, the collapse of the Confederacy, Indian raids, and a lot of the cowboys went to war.
Okay.
And so, and then drought. Fowler wasn't sure things would ever be the same again, so Chisholm bought him out. And he moved to present-day San Angelo. Now, do you know where that is?
I do. I've been there.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's in Texas, right?
Yep. San Angelo, okay. Texas. Yep.
Okay. So now he's 40 years old.
They have a great stock show and rodeo there.
Okay. So now he's 40 years old. He turned his face westward. He had a brother that looked over the New Mexico Pecos River, thought it looked good, and talked old John into moving there.
I see.
Now, Chisholm established his headquarters at Bosque Grande. Now, does that sound familiar?
I think the pronunciation is Bosque Grande.
Bosque Grande.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's...
I could be wrong on that, but
30 or 40 miles downriver from Fort Sumner, he sold stock to the Bosque Redondo Indian Reservation.
And love to have those words in the story, don't you?
I love them. Stumble, stumble.
It's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, he sold a bunch of cattle.
Yeah, right.
and to small ranchers and miners, and government contracts were a really good source of income for him.
Right.
For the military posts. Now, in addition, Chisholm would put together herds for Charles Goodnight, that we've talked about before.
Yep, yep.
He was a nearby rancher who made yearly drives to Dodge City and points north. However, in rounding up this assortment of cattle, Chisholm did not always pay proper attention to the brands.
Oh, in other words?
Too often, he simply kind of absorbed another rancher's cattle on the verbal promise that the cattle would be paid once the steers were all marketed. And sometimes these, you know, he would have a poor memory. But anyway, he had this agreement, and John Chisholm had a strong tendency toward, like I say, being absent-minded. But one particular instance, a irate rancher tracked him down. Never had any trouble collecting. Old John just grinned and wrote him out a check.
Wrote him on a check.
Yeah.
He didn't want to have a fight.
No. He knew.
Sure, he had obtained 1,000 head of cattle, but that's okay.
Yeah. Wrong brands, but hey, you know. So now we're here in 1875. Chisholm moved his headquarters to near present-day Roswell, New Mexico. And here he built a house called the Square House. It was 8 small rooms surrounding a patio. And later he replaced it with what he called the Long House. Now, this was an adobe structure 148 feet long and 39 feet wide. This is a big house.
Ooh, well, I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to provide fresh water, he dug what he called a drinking ditch, which makes me a little nervous, but from the South Spring, which was a tributary of the Pecos, to his home. And it flowed beneath the central hallway in the longhouse.
Wow.
And then curled around and watered his crops and his trees.
Really?
So that was their drinking water.
Wow. But what year was that, by the way?
1875.
75.
Yep. But the dining room table sat 26 people, and it was rare when any chair stood empty.
Boy, I was going to say that'd be pretty lonesome at breakfast in the morning if nobody showed up.
But tramping through his house at one time or another came governors, legislators, intellectuals, businessmen, army officers, common soldiers, buffalo hunters, outlaws, sheriffs, gold seekers.
Including the other neighbors that were looking for their cattle.
Look at, hey, have you seen my cows? So, now, he had a niece, 16-year-old Sally, and he kind of had a crush on her, but she was like the perfect hostess.
Really?
I mean, she would take care of the people that came for dinner and everything.
Okay.
So, anyways, this might be a good time for a break.
You know, it would be. I'd like to just come in and talk about Minnecashia Sales real quick, because Zach and the rest of the crew, they really, really appreciate what Dr. History is and does right here on Zevith Ranch. And it's a great time to install new carpeting and maybe even a new metal roof. Hey, all you have to do is go into Minnecashia Sales and see everything that they've got available for you. All the western windows and the carpet like I just talked about. They are a huge supporter of this area, and of course can help you also with the western windows and all the tartar gates and panels. The best. Minnecashia Sales, 1321 East Main in Burley, right across from the airport. Zach and the rest of the crew serving you and wishing you a very happy 4th of July weekend. Minnecashia Sales. You're on, Doc.
I'm on. I knew. You gave me the look. So here we have this luxurious home. Now, you would expect John Chisholm to have an expensive room, an office, you know, really nice, leather chairs, all that. But instead, his office was his bedroom. It was neat, plain. In addition to a small bed, he kept a safe, a walnut writing desk, and a big dictionary. That was it.
Now, wait a minute. You never did say if he got married.
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
I figured you were.
He was not a complicated man, and he never married.
He never married.
Nope. Now, he had a lifelong reputation as a ladies' man, and several females at one time or another almost slipped the noose around his neck, but he always pulled away just in time.
Yeah.
So, never married.
Never married.
I mean, his first love really was this Chisholm Empire, and it was huge. It extended 150 miles up and down the Pecos River from mountain range to mountain range, almost a fifth of New Mexico at one time.
A lot of people think about the King Ranch as being so big and so elaborate and everything, but this guy was, Chisholm was pretty big too.
Oh, he was huge.
Yeah.
Now, one reason he held it is he controlled the water. Well, in this case, the river.
Ooh.
Of course, that, you know, and he never paid anyone for all this open range, but he claimed it and owned it by right of occupation.
Basically. Right of occupation. So, in other words, I'm sitting here and I ain't getting up.
And don't come in on me.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, at the height of his glory, 70 to 80,000 cattle grazed on Chisholm land.
And a lot of them weren't even his.
That's right. Well, a few here and there, you know.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But his rail brand along the steer's left flank from the shoulder to the hip, that was his brand. He was best known for the Jingle Bob brand.
Yeah.
Now, that's an ear notch, right?
The Jingle Bob is in relation to spurs.
Okay.
The Jingle Bob on spurs.
Okay. Yep. But then they also did a technique where they cut a notch in the ear.
Yeah, yeah.
So the ear flopped in a certain manner.
Right.
But anyway, there were the days when men rode for the brand, and they were proud of their association. And they stood by the boss, and the boss stood by them. I mean, it was a unique loyalty. They were good guys.
Yeah.
And
sure, they were stealing the neighbor's cattle.
Sure, they were working together. But when a Chisholm trail hand was shot and killed, John nodded his head, and the murderer's horse was led out from beneath the cottonwood tree at the end of a rope.
Yep.
So they did their
own
locking.
Frontier justice.
Yeah.
Frontier justice.
Yeah. Now, although John Chisholm did tolerate small-time thefts, big-time wrestling was a different matter.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Indians were always a nuisance, often a menace, and the Chisholm cowhands fought fire with fire and lead with lead, and John and his range boss, a guy named Jim Hysaw, rode into El Paso on the trail of some stolen cattle and found their beeves ready to be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hysaw, reputedly a kind of a dangerous guy, he charged small rancher Dick Smith with the thefts and promptly shot him.
Oh, my.
So, anyway, but of all of Chisholm's trouble...
And nothing happened.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
He'd stolen cattle.
Yeah.
He deserved to be shot.
But Chisholm had done that himself.
Yeah, but he's a good guy.
Oh.
Or bigger.
I don't know.
But, you know, all the troubles he had, the worst he had was the Lincoln County War.
Ah.
Now, I think...
That's where Billy the Kid comes in.
Right. Now, I'm just going to mention a little bit about that.
Okay.
You know, the West had a share of grassland wars, but... And they had a lot of feuds and one thing and another, an untold number of deaths. But by most accounts, the violence was pretty small, involving a few people and sometimes a sheriff or two. But the effects rarely had regional consequences like the Johnson County War. Now, for sheer bad blood and stupidity and one thing and another, this was dumb. Because the Johnson County War in Wyoming, sometimes known as the War on Powder River, it was between the two big cattlemen and the little cowboy. So really two factions that should have been working together.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a dumb war with loss of life.
Really?
But anyway, as I mentioned, John, as time went on, John, it kind of became open season on John Chisholm's cattle. Rustlers all over the territory picked away.
How many thousand head? 85,000?
70 to 80,000.
70 to 80,000 head of cattle.
And how do you keep track of that?
That is the $64,000 question.
Yeah. So in desperation, Chisholm wrote Governor Lew Wallace and recommended that Pat Garrett, a former buffalo hunter, be deputized to guard specific crossing points along the Pecos, and Garrett be empowered to intercept the outlaws and, if necessary, kill them. And, of course, you know what's coming.
Yep.
Out of this effort came the election of Pat Garrett as sheriff, his rendezvous with destiny less than 2 years later when he surprised Billy the Kid in Fort Sumner bedroom, left him dead with a bullet in the heart. And we've discussed the questionability of that whole story.
I have a tendency to lean towards Billy the Kid was not killed by Pat Garrett.
Well, there's too many unanswered questions.
Variables.
Yes, variables. Yeah. So, meanwhile, up in the territorial capital, the corrupt Santa Fe ring with Senator Tom Catron sought to bring Chisholm to his knees. They hated John for his Pecos power, for his independence from political control. And various lawsuits charged Chisholm with fraud, and in January of 1878, the authorities jailed him, actually put him in jail for several weeks in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Right.
In a jail there. Now, during his imprisonment, he wrote an explanation and a vindication of his actions. Now, this actual remarkable document is still in existence.
Really?
Yeah, and it reveals Chisholm as basically a straightforward man. He trusted some old friends much more than he should have. After his release, he sold much of his stock to a group called Hunter and Evans, a St. Louis firm that had interest throughout the West. I don't know if you've heard of them.
While he was jailed, did he have or hire his own attorney? Did he have his own attorneys working for him?
You know, it doesn't mention anything about the
it sounds like he tried to represent himself.
It almost does.
Yeah.
So, basically, John made a good decision. Times were changing. The days of the free public land and open range, that was pretty much gone. And I'm sure the sheep, you know, they were moving in about this time, too.
I don't know if it says that in the information that you have, but really, when you talk about, let's say, 70,000 head of cattle, how many people worked for John Chisholm?
That's a good question, I don't know that. But
wow.
It had to be a well, you take a cattle drive, they would a lot of times have 2,000 head with
2,000 to 3,000 head.
To 20 to 25 men.
Yeah.
So they were responsible for a lot of cattle.
But you would think as big of land value as he controlled with his ranch and all of his holdings and everything, that they would have looked at something and said, like, Section A is managed by so-and-so and this many cowboys, Section B, this many cowboys and managed by. You couldn't possibly sit in one location and manage that many cattle on that ranch.
Right, and just like is today, you know, a lot of these big outfits have a foreman, or several.
Oh, had
foreman.
To be. Oh, yeah.
And then there's probably a line of command, a chain of command.
Basically, the story about John Chisholm, don't you think that he got so big that basically he was out of control?
I think so.
Yeah.
And again, with the ranges being closed more and more. But anyway, in 1883, a malignant tumor sprouted on the left side of his neck, grew to the size of a baseball, and kind of tilted his head to the right. And when he could stand the discomfort and the pain no longer, he went to Kansas City, Missouri for an operation.
Really?
Now, the doctor said the operation was a success, and although in great pain, John started for home, and he made it as far as Las Vegas, again, New Mexico, when another tumor appeared just that quick.
Oh, wow.
Now, this one grew large almost overnight and just was so painful. Well, in desperation, he returned to Kansas City, but this time the doctor said he was too weak to operate. They gave him some medicine, but, you know, nothing helped. And Chisholm could not speak above a whisper now because it was in his neck. And with the spark of life flickering, he hoped the mineral baths at Eureka Springs, some kind of mineral bath deal there in Arkansas might help. Well, they didn't, and he died on December 22nd, 1884. And with his death at the age of 60, a lot that was, you know, good and fine and noble and stubborn and persevering in his world, in that world, kind of died with him. And perhaps his best testament was the cowboys he left behind, because he trained a lot of, like we said, foremen and cowboys. But up until a few short years ago, there were still a lot of men around who were proud to say they once worked for the Jingle Bob brand, and they had ridden the river with John Chisholm.
You know, when you think about it, I've only got a minute left here, but when he passed, How did he or did he have a will that would be given out or disseminated to other members of his family, maybe a brother, a sister, or something like that?
No, and I have no information on that.
Wow.
Where he had no children, and I don't know how small the outfit.
I mean, all of a sudden, you're going to possibly turn over to the state of New Mexico and Texas a multi-thousand-acre ranch and all those holdings? Wow.
Yeah. And again, I don't know how much he sold off before he died.
Yeah.
And it may have been down to it wasn't that big by the time he died. I don't know.
Holy cow. John Chisholm.
Real life guy.
Cowboy and in the films portrayed by John Wayne.
Yeah.
Yep.
Going to have to go watch that again.
Yeah. And what was John Wayne's wife? He was married in the movie, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John Wayne was married in the movie.
Well, they have to do that.
Yeah. It looked better.
It does.
Anyway, John Chisholm, that's a good story. You ought to do some checking on who really benefited from the estate.
I'll do some research on that because I'm kind of curious, too, what happened to all that.
That's a lot of money.
Millions and millions, really.
Yeah, really. So. And somebody had told me, and correct me if you find this to be wrong, that a lot of the John Chisholm estate went to state parks and recreation land. Is that...
And again, I don't know that. I mean, it was such a huge area, 150 miles.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big.
Along the river.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, Doc, you did it again. A great story. I appreciate it. And, of course, Dr. History is brought to you by Minnacashia Sales at 1321 East Main Street in Burley, right across from the airport. Zach and the rest of his very, very talented crew. Everything you need right there. Spring remodeling projects, summer remodeling projects, lumber, windows with the Western windows, everything at Minnacashia Sales. Okay, now the question of the week is, what are we going to talk about next week?
Well, that's a good question.
You know what I have a question on?
What's
and
that?
I asked you this one other time, and we only got a minute here. What about money and how it was handled in the Old West? You said he wrote out a check. What about the banks, and what about checks and the financial standing in the Old West? I mean, what about the money situation? How did they write a check? How was it honored at various banks as they traveled? I mean, what about the money situation?
Well, actually, when I read that and he said he wrote out a check, I was a little bit surprised at that.
Yeah.
Because I know that on the cattle drives, they would have arrangements along the drive with certain store people or whatever that the trail boss could have credit at.
Really?
And so I'm really not sure, you know, if they... I know they at times carried a lot of money with them.
Why don't you do a little program on the induction, if you would, into our society of checks in the Old West and how they banked and how they got... Remember on Bonanza, they were always talking about going to Virginia City and getting a draw and all that? Oh. I'd be interested in the financial standing of the Old West.
Well, that's a good idea, because there's a little gray area there. You know,
and
you
did Ben Cartwright's checks ever bounce?
That's an even better question.
I got to run. Doc, God bless you,
man.
Have
a good
Thank
day.
You.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.